Hey, everybody, I'm Allene Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about finding the courage to have hope when life feels hopeless. Finding the courage to have hope when life feels hopeless. And in order to do that, I'm going to give you three steps that you can take, but I want to take you into this passage in Scripture, which describes a woman who had great courage and great hope, that she stayed with persevering faith and she never lost hope. And so we're going to look into her life. And again, it's just three verses. And we're going to look into our life and we're going to glean some timeless biblical truths that you and I can put into practice. Because let's face it, inside of our broken world where we face many imperfections in life, it's easy to feel hopeless. It's easy to feel hopeless. And if we are human, we live inside of a broken world. And so just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we're not going to wake up some mornings and feel that heaviness or despair. But you and I can find hope. And so I want to teach you from the Word of God, which if you've been listening to my podcast, we always teach straight from the Word. And we love to share those timeless biblical truths that you can gain from the Word to heal soul hearts. And the reason why I do that is because God's Word literally changed my life. So I can't wait to share this with you today. So I'm in the Gospel of Luke. I'm in the second chapter, and I'm going to be starting with verse 36, talking to you about the prophecy of Anna. Now, as this opens up, we are in the temple, and Jesus is 8 days old, and his parents have brought him to the temple to become circumcised. While in the temple, Simon is there, and Simon gives this prophecy, and he says to Mary, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him, and as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your soul." So they're inside the temple, and Simon gives this prophecy. And then in the very next verse in 36 is where I want to pick up. And I want you to pay attention to this amazing, courageous woman named Anna. Verse 36. "Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem." And so inside of this passage, we meet this beautiful, old, wise, wonderful, worshipful woman named Anna. Now, the Bible tells us a lot about her inside of this passage. We understand that she's a widow and that she's old. But what is just kind of eye-catching is that she lost her husband after they had only been married for 7 years. Now, back then in biblical times, women were married very young. It would not be uncommon for a woman to be married when she was 16 or 17, 18 years old. So let's just be conservative and say that she was 20 when she was married. So she would lose her husband at the age of 27. And so from the age of 27 through the age of 84, the Bible tells us that she stayed at the temple. And so although she experienced sorrow and loss, she stayed at the temple. And see, sorrow and loss in our life, it really presents us with this defining decision, and there can be a temptation that instead of pressing into Jesus, that we may want to withdraw, that we may have all these questions about why did this happen? In other words, if Anna had lost her husband, and let's say her husband was in his latter years, well, that would still be hard, but it would be understandable. But the loss came quickly. The loss probably came very unexpectedly. And I want to ask you, what loss has been unexpected in your life? And it sent you just inside of this spiral of hopelessness. Well, let's look inside of this passage, because oftentimes what happens to me when I experience loss, and it can be it can create a lot of insecurity in our life. And one of when I went through a very traumatic loss in my life, one of my knee-jerk reactions was to really try to control everything around me. Now, I've always been tempted to be a controller, right? But when you experience loss, it was almost like that heightened it inside of me, that I wanted to fix everything around me so that I would never have to experience that pain and rejection again. And oftentimes when you and I walk through loss, we can be tempted not only to fall away from our faith because the enemy comes and tempts us and tells us this malarkey that God isn't loving, not only can we be tempted to fall away from our faith, but we can be tempted to try to step in and fix everything. But God doesn't call us to try to fix, and He certainly doesn't want us to fall away. He wants us to have faith, have this persistent faith. And that's what we see inside of Anna. We see that she was determined to stay in the temple, that she was devoted to her God. And sometimes one of the greatest gifts inside of pain and inside of loss is that it can be that very force that drives us straight into the arms of perfect love. And it's really a decision that you and I can make, that we can either leave God or we can cling to Him, that we can either say, you know what, I can't trust God's word anymore, or we can say, you know what, I'm going to just cling to Him with this courageous faith. You see, loss can help us find love on a deeper level. And when we find that perfect love from God on a deeper level, I mean, how many of you have walked through a loss? And it could have even been that season of loss was the very birthing ground for your relationship with God. But it can also produce in us this determined faith that says, I'm going to cling to God's word and I'm going to remain hopeful in my life no matter what. And see, when you and I let the imperfections in life be the very force that drives us into the arms of Jesus, then loss can become something that God can use to our advantage. That the enemy wants to come into your loss and he wants to make you hopeless and he wants to get you to give up on God. But number one is this, the first thing that you and I need to do when we start to feel hopeless is we need to say, you know what? I'm going to make a decision here and I'm going to let the imperfections in my life, I'm going to let the fractures that have happened be the very force that drives me into the arms of perfect love. You see, oftentimes this persistent faith, this faith that says, I'm going to stand with Jesus no matter what happens, I'm going to stand with Him, that oftentimes that persistent faith that is so precious to Jesus, it is birthed out of the pain inside of our life. It's the very force that drives us into the arms of Jesus. When I'm thinking about this and thinking about Anna, it reminds me of the story in Matthew 15, starting in the 21st verse, of Jesus and the Gentile woman. And the Gentile woman comes to Jesus, and she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." And how many of you know that when there's loss in our life, or in this case, when one of our children are hurting, that that just drives us into the arms of Jesus? Because oftentimes, when you've lost everything, that you find that Jesus is your everything. And so if we can flip our perspective on loss and let the first thing be that we see loss as the very leader that's going to lead us into the arms of Jesus, that it can actually be a beautiful thing that can help to redirect our focus and thoughts. So the first thing is that when you experience loss, that you need to press into the presence of Jesus, that you need to let the fractures in life be the very force that drives you into his arms. And you need to recognize that the enemy is going to tempt you to pull away. Now, this also means in order for us to do this in a healthy way, that you and I must have a season of mourning. We must have a season of loss. That driving into the arms of Jesus, that having persistent faith doesn't mean that we never shed a tear. I mean, the Bible talks about the mourning a lot, and there's a season for mourning. And when we experience loss, that it's a part of God's prescription for us to mourn, because it is through the mourning that we're allowed to move on. It is through the mourning that you and I grieve what was lost. And that's important, because when we grieve what we lost, we acknowledge the pain. And then once we acknowledge the pain and we put words around why this is so hard, then we can take that pain and we can bring it to Jesus. We can access the true and only source of perfect love. We can access our provider. In other words, with a Gentile woman, where she was experiencing her daughter who was being tormented by a demon, she accessed the source of healing for that. Anna the prophet, who lost her husband, she went into the temple day and night and obviously had a very close relationship with her creator. And so number one is this: let imperfections in your life drive you straight into the arms of the source of perfect love. Number two is this: you need to praise him before you see your breakthrough. Praise him before you see your breakthrough. Now, Anna, it says this inside of the story of Anna. It says that she never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. In other words, she didn't stop praising him until she saw her breakthrough. And her praise was before she saw her breakthrough. And listen to this. The Bible doesn't say, and then she got a husband. And I believe that probably when she started out on this journey and she pressed into the heart of Jesus, that she was praying perhaps for a husband. I mean, back then in biblical times, widows were very, very vulnerable. And so she was praying for her husband. And we see that she's 84 and she's still not married. But how many of you know, how many of you have pressed into the presence of Jesus and you find that there's something greater than the harvest? In other words, you find that there's something even greater than the answer to the prayer, even greater than your marriage being reconciled, even greater than everything in life working out perfectly. You've found the presence of perfect love. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like waking up every morning and maybe even feeling that heaviness. Like sometimes when I wake up, I just feel that heaviness. But when I press through and get into his presence, it's like it leaves. And we need to praise him before we see our breakthrough. And we also need to understand that our harvest, our answer, may not be the answer that we want, but it will always be from God what we need and when we need it. You need to praise him before you see your breakthrough. And this is all over the Word of God. And if you look inside of the book of Joshua, before in Joshua 6, before the Israelites could take down the walls of Jericho. God commanded them to march around the walls and to blow their trumpets, and that was a symbol of praise. And there's something awesome that happens when we praise God before our breakthrough, because it gets our eyes off of our problems and on to our God. And you may be asking yourself, well, Eileen, how can I praise Him before my breakthrough when it's just not reality? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. What you do is you thank God for what He's done in the past, and then you thank Him in advance for what He's going to do. You don't deny the circumstances that are for you, but you just thank Him that He's going to answer that prayer. You say, God, I see that my marriage now is falling apart, but I praise You and thank You in advance for what You're going to do. God, I see my child that is walking through this struggle, but I thank You for what You are going to do. And you just begin to praise Him before your breakthrough, like Anna did. And you will find that cloud just begin to lift inside of your life, inside of the story of the in Matthew 15 with the Gentile woman. It says that after she came to Jesus, then verse 23, it says that Jesus did not reply to her, and that also the disciples wanted her to go away. And then in verse 25, it says, but she came and worshiped Him, pleading again, Lord, help me. And so there's a beautiful persistence and a worship and a posture of praise that you and I can partake in before our breakthrough. And when we do that, it's powerful. It pulls down the what the enemy is trying to do through your negative circumstance, and it gets your mind inside of who God is and His magnitude and His power. And that kind of praise, that kind of persistent praise that happens before you see your breakthrough, before you see, I mean, if you plant a seed, right? And it takes time for the seed to sprout. Faith says, I don't see the seed now, but I know that God's going to bring that harvest, and you and I need to praise Him before our breakthrough. And another thing that happens when we adopt this attitude is that it's really a place of freedom. In other words, we lift this up to whatever our situation is to God, and then we say, Lord, I can't control it. I can't solve it, but I thank You that You've got an answer, and I'm just going to praise You before my breakthrough. So number one, you want to let the imperfections not pull you away from God, but drive you into His presence so that you can experience perfect love and find that there's something even greater than perfect circumstances, and that's the presence of Jesus. And number two is that you want to praise Him before you see your breakthrough. And the last thing is this: I want you to see the act of staying at the cross. In other words, staying at the circumstances that you just don't understand. I want you to see that as this beautiful, sweet act of worship. You know, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, when it goes through the armor of God, it tells us to stand, right? Stand in the faith that only God can provide. And you know, sometimes when the enemy attacks us and when loss happens in our life, sometimes all we can do is just stand. But we need to see that that stance, that steadfast, immovable faith is a beautiful act of worship. And we never know who may be witnessing our worship. And inside of this passage where Anna, it says, is worshiping God, you know who is seeing and witnessing her worship is Mary. The young mother Mary, as she's bringing her little baby Jesus to be circumcised, she sees this beautiful 84-year-old woman who just is in love with God and is devoted to Him. And as Simon gives a prophecy in verse 35, he says, Mary, a sword is going to pierce your soul. And you know, in that very last passage where Mary is standing at the cross and she's watching her son walk through such suffering, I wonder, I wonder, we know that her soul was pierced, right? But I wonder if she paused and if she went back to Simon's words, yes, but even more than that, if she remembered the courage and the faith of Anna, who worshiped God even when life didn't make sense. Because here's the thing, when I witness a woman worshiping God, even though she's walked through such severe loss, there's just an inspiration that comes into my life that I just can't find. It just can't even be packaged. I mean, every Monday night I have the privilege and the honor of studying the Word of God with other women, and they come over to my house and we share a meal together and dive into God's Word together, and it's just a beautiful time. And one of the things that I love is two of the women inside of my group, they love the Lord Jesus, but they've been widowed. And it wasn't after 7 years of marriage. They had been married for some time, but it also wasn't late in their years. They were in their 50s. And in both cases, it was uninspected. It was not expected. And so as I listened to their stories, and on Monday night in particular, one of the women just went through what she walked through when she lost her husband, which it wasn't just that one particular thing. It was a whole myriad of things that were going on in her life. And as she shared her story, I was so touched. I started tearing up and I just said, you know, the way that you have just remained steadfast inside of your faith, it's just beautiful. I mean, I felt like I was just witnessing this beautiful worship. And see, when you and I choose to stay at the cross, even when life doesn't make sense, we never know who is witnessing our worship. And when we cling to God's word, despite darkness around us, it's like this beautiful act of worship. And not only does it heal our hearts, we see that Anna, that I'm sure that there were sad days, but we see that she just turned her energy into devoting and serving God, and that her heart was healed from that, right? And so not only when I choose to take those steps, does it heal my heart, but it also brings a beautiful harvest to others, because we never know who is witnessing our worship. And see, you and I are called to be nurturers. God created women with the ability to not only birth physical life, but spiritual life. And so because of that, we have a great capacity to nurture. And part of nurturing life is believing before we see. You know, like I was saying, in other words, if I plant a seed in the ground, I gotta have faith to water it, because I don't yet see the buds coming up, right? And loss happens in our life, and sometimes things have to die and fall to the ground to create a bigger harvest, and we don't understand. And I'm sure when Mary was standing there watching Jesus being beaten, being hung on a cross, being accused of things that he never did, I'm sure that the inside of her was just screaming, stop, stop, and she wanted to stop, but with great courage, she remained at the cross. So where is that place in your life? The place that doesn't make sense. The place where you don't understand what's going on. You want to scream. You want to fix it. You want to make it stop. But it's beyond your control. Could it perhaps be that it is this beautiful opportunity, this moment of precious worship that you can have with your God, that will not only bring a healing and a blessing in your life, but will share that with others? You see, when you and I press into the arms of Jesus in the pain in our life, we allow the fractures, the brokenness in our life to be the very parchment paper upon which Jesus writes his story of redemption. And that today is the Treasured Ministries podcast. And I pray that you have been blessed through this. And also, we love it when people write a review on our podcast. So if you have time, help us get the word out by writing a review. And then share this with a friend who might benefit from this message. We depend on word of mouth to grow Treasured Ministries, and we are honored and thankful for people like you who help us do that. Thanks so much for listening in, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.